I want to thank Greg for speaking last week. I know I had an emergency to respond to, and I was so grateful that he did, and I heard that y'all had a great time. And so anyway, I want to thank Greg, as I heard a lot of great reports about just the entire service. I want to ask you this morning if you would turn to your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, all right? Luke chapter 19, and let me get settled on this chair. As you see, I said I was downgrading from a crutch to a cane, and somebody said, are you downgrading or are you upgrading, Pastor? Well, anyway, my leg is getting stronger from hip replacement surgery, fractured femur bone, and so I'm continuing to work, doing a lot of good physical therapy. Thank you for all your prayers and for all that everybody has done. It has been an interesting season, and I'm grateful to the Lord for his healing and health in my hip. So anyway, bless you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This morning, I want to talk about the initiative, and this still is in line with kind of the series of messages that I've been encouraging us, and especially myself, from the standpoint that God has called us to be a person of influence. Now, let me just say something about the idea of taking initiative. You know, one of the things that we have is with our grandson. Y'all know, I think most of you know that Katya and I have three daughters, so we never raised a boy. And so, you know, we have had the blessing of having Maddox, our grandson. He's 11 years old. And so one of the big initiatives with him these days is trying to get him to take a shower. I mean, all of us as parents, and maybe even as grandparents, I mean, because trying to get him to take a shower is quite the initiative. He's a lot like his mom. He can come up with a lot of reasons that he can kind of argue with you about why that he doesn't need to take a shower. Like, I just took a shower 3 days ago, Papa. The other one that he does is when he realizes he's got to give in. It's to jump in and do that 15-second shower. When his hair, he went on a camp out with Andrew and Ashley and all that crew, and he was around a campfire. And so, you know, I mean, we could smell him, you know, when he came in. And he was like that for half a day or whatever. And so we were trying to get him to go take a shower. Well, he did the 15-second. Did I say 15 minutes? Maybe I did. But that 15-second shower, he jumped in. He came out. He still smelled like smoke. Maddox, get back in the shower and shampoo your hair. My prayer is he's going to middle school, and he's got a little girl that he likes, you know. And I'm hoping that at least that the importance of showering and smelling better may that idea may awaken in his mind, all right? Because it's quite the initiative. yeah. But one of the things that I believe that God is doing in our church and in our hearts, I know many of you, because you've been a Christian a long time, and maybe as a young adult, and I remember this is true for me, you know, when I was 19, 20 years old, and that was a time, we were seeing a lot of people, a lot of young people getting born again, you know, getting set free from drugs, various things. And so I was a part of a Baptist church that had a lot of evangelistic teams and ministries, and over a two-year period, I think I've shared some of this with you before, but, you know, we probably saw as many as 7,000 young people get born again through the various ministries, traveling and involved, you know, weekly. And so sometimes, you know, I was a part of a team that would minister through music, preaching, and sometimes just, you know, going out and witnessing. And, you know, I was 19 and 20 years old then. You know, the way God used us and the way God, you know, allowed me to be a part of that is not necessarily what I can do today at 62 years old. Isn't that right? And so, you know, but my heart is to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. You know, and I believe that it requires me to take the initiative as Jesus did. You believe that? I mean, God's stirring that in us. And there's a it's not that it's a new awareness, but I think sometimes, you know, just like with me, the responsibilities of being a dad and being a granddad and being a pastor, you know, and God is saying, I want to show you people and I want to show you situations, you know, that I want you to take the initiative, and I'll make that clear to you. And that's what I hear is happening in us. And realize something about, you know, what's happening in America. I was reading an article this week that was talking about, especially since 2014, there are more and more churches that are they're doing a couple of things. One is they are selling property. And sometimes they're selling their buildings. There are also some churches are entering into kind of joint ventures with commercial developers, and they're developing in that their facilities that they need, but also is a source of revenue. Why? Because less people are going to church today. I mean, every year there are 3,000 less churches in America than they were the year before. And so what I've been saying to us is, while God speaks to us about revival, you know, and I don't know about you, but I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. How many of y'all know? I mean, you think of a revival as something, a service that somebody comes to and there's preaching or their ministry, people get saved and set free. Well, we desire for God to do that? But revival may mean something different today. That may be more like a spiritual transformation where we're going out. I think that's the picture that I saw where back in 2002, of four people being on a stretcher carrying. And I realize this setting looked like something from the 1800s. So I think they were just kind of like pine little logs, you know, with canvas. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, IVs and all that kind of stuff. But we were going out in that battlefield, and we were picking up people, and people were coming back to life, and people were getting healed, you know, in small teams of people going. And I think in the future that while the ministries of the local church are important, I'm not downplaying that, but more and more, and especially in this climate, you know what's going on in our country, the divisiveness of the enemy and the division within us in race and social status and all those kinds of things. And listen, as all that stuff is happening, it's an opportunity, because as the spiritual darkness becomes greater, the spiritual light that the church has through our relationship with Jesus Christ begins to shine more, right? I mean, the darkness is greater and the light is greater. And there are people that the Holy Spirit is working in that we're going to connect with. I mean, the vision of our church is to be a healthy church for the purpose of connecting people and building faith and serving others. And so one of the most important things that we've got to grow in is connecting with people. Isn't that right? And that's where I'm at as well. You know, God gives us opportunities to be people of influence for His kingdom. And it happens in everyday life as we do this in faith with the leadership of the Spirit. So let's look at Luke chapter 19 as we look at how Jesus in His ministry, that He took the initiative to carry out His mission. Luke 19 verses 1 through 10, familiar story. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now look at verse 3, because it says that he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree. I mean, I think about that and it's almost childlike, isn't it, to see him? It's also very resourceful. But he wanted to see Jesus, and since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Now that's interesting, because usually it was the Pharisees and the scribes that muddle. And they muddle too, but the people are. They're complaining. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That was greater than what the law required for him to restore that. And then in verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, let's look at Zacchaeus for just a moment to help us understand. And let me grab a quick sip of water, if you don't mind. Zacchaeus, if you've studied him, you know he's more than just a tax collector. He's actually a chief tax collector, meaning that other tax collectors worked for him. He was in the tax collection business. I guess he was multi-level, into multi-level marketing, right? So he was making money off of the downline, right? I said the downline, okay, just to clarify that. Tax collectors, they contracted with the Roman government to collect taxes. They usually worked in a particular town or a region. So Zacchaeus mostly subcontracted the actual collection of the taxes. He may not have been out there collecting taxes. Maybe he did at one point. He kind of came up through the ranks, okay? And so I think his strategy was two for the Roman government, one for me. Two for the Roman government, one for me. It's a two-for-one deal, right? Well, the system was prone to kind of reward tax collectors for excessive collections. Imagine those of you who do TurboTax and you send it in, and all of a sudden you get a note back from the IRS, and you followed the rules and regulations, the guidelines from the IRS, and they say, nope, you owe four times that much money. Well, maybe that's what was happening to the Jews. They were not very happy with him, okay? I mean, Jews actually despise tax collectors. How many of y'all despise the IRS a little bit? It's okay. We'll pray for you afterwards. Pray for them. Well, here's why the crowd grumbled. Because they actually saw the tax collectors like thieves and mercenaries. And it wasn't just that they were thieves. They saw them as being a traitor. I mean, how many of you know, if you've seen movies or you think about people that have been traitors to the U.S., you see that. There's a movie called Bridge of Spies. That talks about various traitors and all that kind of thing. Well, the Jews saw him as a traitor. And yet, here comes Jesus, and Jesus invites himself to go to Zacchaeus' house. Now, what would his life have been? Who would his friends have been? His friends actually would have been a small circle, probably, of some of the Roman officials that had helped him to get this contract, and those that he employed. You understand that his wealth probably did not compensate him for the life that he lived. And maybe, depending on how you see verse 8, that he was a man that lived with guilt because he was a thief. And yet Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down out of that tree immediately, because I'm going to your house to stay. It's challenging. I don't know how many of you would invite yourself to go to the house of a thief. I mean, think about it. I mean, apply it to you. I mean, you know, I mean, we read this story and we think Zacchaeus is a little, a wee little man. All right, I know that. He was a wee little man, but he was a thief. So, and the people obviously despised him. Would you invite that kind of person to your house, or invite yourself to go to their house? Our car got broken into here in the community. And so the thieves got our car keys. Okay, so they took Katya's purse. They immediately went to Target, Home Builders, Home Depot, Lowe's, and all that, and they were trying to rack up as much as they could. Okay, why do they do that? Because there are people that are friends with them, or, you know, maybe they don't tell the exact truth. These people, a lot of times, based on what the Harris County Sheriff's Department, they have, you know, rooms full of merchandise. They're not selling it on the street. There are people that know what they're doing, but they get them a discounted rate, okay? And so what it cost us was, it cost us almost $1,000 to be able to have the security system changed on our other car that happened to be here at the church. We weren't able to recover that money. So I saw a picture. They got a picture from one of the stores of the guy that was involved in this. And so I think about this when I read his story. Would I go to that guy's house? He's cost me $900 to reach out to him. Would you? You say, Pastor Dennis, you're kind of laboring this point. Yes, I am. Because I think sometimes that I have found, and this morning I'm preaching to me, is that it's easy for me to maybe look at people and to say, you know, God, you wouldn't be moving. And the guy that just took Katz's purse and took off and started charging using credit cards and bank cards and all those kinds of things, you wouldn't be moving in their life, would you? Maybe so. When you look at Jesus' ministry, you see a priority in taking the initiative. Let me highlight some of the people, the kinds of people that Jesus, you know, was seeking. He was seeking prodigal sons and daughters. And many times, what a prodigal son and a daughter is, obviously, is it's someone that's running away from God. I'm talking about spiritual sons and daughters. Isn't that right? I mean, if you talk to people today, there's a lot of people that would like to make their way back to God, or they would like to come to God, and God's been pursuing them, and they're running. Well, Jesus liked to pursue those kind of people. People rejected by others, that's Zacchaeus. I mean, many times a person's social status or what they have, you know, how much money or what kind of car they drive, you know, that doesn't necessarily determine that these people are accepted. Many people, you know, have a lot of things in life, but they've been rejected by others. That was Zacchaeus' story. Jesus came to seek people with humility. Why is that? Because people that have humility many times can come to God's, come to God on His terms, and the power of God can move in their life. You understand what I'm saying? That people that have humility sometimes don't have the struggle when the Holy Spirit speaks to them to come to God. And then also we see that Jesus came to seek sinners that needed to repent. I mean, that's in all walks of life, isn't that right? I mean, that really includes all of us. If you're born again today, you were a sinner that needed to repent, and Jesus Christ came to you. And so we see Jesus taking the initiative with these kinds of people. I see those kinds of people during my week, and you do too, don't you? And yet we know, do we believe something that has been debated? And here it is. Jesus lived His life without sin, and yet He associated with sinners. And it made the religious people mad. It not only made the religious leaders, but it made the Jews that saw this, the residents of Jericho, they were angry. They were mad. They were grumbling. Now, turn to Luke chapter 5, if you would, okay? Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 27 through 32, I believe it is. Luke 5, verses 27 through 28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. He is with another tax collector by the name of Levi, sitting at his tax booth. He said, "Follow me." And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, It's possible that maybe Jesus had a pre-existing relationship. Maybe he had gone to pay their taxes and had, you know, begun to talk. Because Levi, you know, obviously it says that he left what he was doing. He left everything and began to follow Jesus. And then let's read on in verse 29. It said, "Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?'" And then in verse 31, Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, there's something important for us to remember. Jesus wasn't successful, right? Every time that he preached or that he went to minister to somebody. I mean, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, he was unwilling to sell all of his possessions, you know, to follow Jesus. But something happened in Zacchaeus and Levi, you know, the responding to Jesus, and their lives were changed. I mean, Jesus not only brought salvation to Zacchaeus, but he brought salvation to his family. And let me say something else. Not only did he bring salvation to Zacchaeus and to his family, he would help to bring salvation to the community. Go back to who needs a tax collector that's a liar, that's a thief, and is dishonest. So when people come to Christ in our community gets strong. Salvation comes to the community. It's strengthened when the church gets out and we do the work of the ministry that God's been called us to. I mean, many times, look, I'm preaching at myself this morning, but maybe you feel this way too. Sometimes I look at what God's doing and it's, you know, I mean, and what, not what God is doing, but what's happening in the community. And the things that we see, I see all this stuff that's going on now, and it's frustrating. Sometimes we get angry, and it's just like, okay, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to do anything. But listen, I realize that I can't have that attitude, that God has called me in the places that I'm at to help make a difference, to take the initiative to reach out to people. If I don't like what I'm seeing, then I need to be an agent for change. And I can't do it on my own power. I can only do that by sharing the light of Jesus Christ and relying on the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It requires me to be bold. It requires me to act in faith. It requires me not to worry about whether I'm rejected. Jesus was rejected. I'll be rejected too. It's not about what I can do in a person's heart. I can't do anything in a person's heart. Who determines what happens, the change in a person's heart, is the Lord. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm just the agent. I'm just a servant. I'm just out there, God, as I'm living my life. God, if you show me a situation, look, that verse 5 where where Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus, you know, he's saying to him, hey, listen, you know, you need to come down right now. I mean, that's talking about a God-ordained time. It's necessary. It's now. And sometimes God puts us, you know, he puts us in the right, at the right time, the right place, and with the right person. And listen, that's exciting when that happens. And whether we're just sowing seed or watering something, listen, it brings life. I mean, how many of you know you're blessed by when you hear, you know, the people get up in the church and they're talking about sharing their faith or praying, you know, the testimony that Peggy gave. Listen, and some of you, I know this is encouraging, but what God wants to say to all of us, that we're all his children and we all can go out and take the initiative as he shows us. I want to close out in the next couple of minutes. Zacchaeus obviously was a man that had a lot of wealth. He was rich. He had a lot of authority. But he was rejected by others. As we said, most likely, the Holy Spirit was at work in his heart And there was conviction going on. And then he finds out, listen, he just is curious. That's all he is. It just says he's curious. Let me see this guy. He'd maybe heard about the healing and some of the great things that Jesus had done. So you know, I mean, he's not tall enough to see, above the crowd. So he climbs up in the tree. I mean, he gets up there and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I'm going to come to your house to stay. And I'm sure they had what they call table fellowship back then. What does Zacchaeus' story speak to me? And maybe it'll speak these things. But here's what I'm reminded of. God called me to be prepared to take the initiative. How do I be prepared? Jesus prayed. He spent a lot of time with the Lord. He knew God's word. And being in God's presence makes a difference. It ignites you. It the passion of the flame of the Spirit and God's love, you know, propels us, you know, to be prepared and ready. Secondly, God doesn't want me, and I'm confessing to you that I have at times, listen to me, God doesn't want me to prejudge what kind of people he will save. It's challenging to me. And I'm not trying to bring a heaviness over us. But I realize I've done that. And then God wants me to believe that he will radically change a man's life when he comes to him on his terms. I want to close with this that happened. It was back probably 1986, I met a man named Don. He was a contractor. The company that I worked for did business with him. He was from Katy, Texas. I'm going to use a word. He and his wife were what they called back then. They were high rollers. He had an airplane, you know, flew around, took his employees, took his customers, various events. He was enjoying life. And don't think I'm crude. He was married to an attractive woman, and he liked for her to dress up and be a little bit of a tease at social gatherings. And he would just walk around smiling at, you know, everybody while she was, you know, doing the room. I remember Katya and I were in New Orleans in a conference, and he had bought her a big old diamond ring. And don't think me crude, but she was wearing a pretty low-cut dress, and she was just going around with the diamond ring, holding it right here. And there he was, smiling big. Now, you know, I got to know Don a little bit. At that time, I thought, I just wasn't aware that this was a guy that God might be doing. I never thought about that. I started pastoring in 2002. I lost track of him. Another contractor friend, Carl Masana, actually Sue, his wife, after Carl passed away, became a member of our church for a while. And so Don was there. And I was on the front steps of Catholic church, and he came up to me and said, Dennis, go, Don, how are you doing? I hadn't seen him in years. He said, I know you're a pastor now. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, God got a hold of my life. He said, I'm sorry to say Bonnie and I got a divorce, but somebody at a Four Square church, that's Jack Hayford's group, in Katy, Texas, reached out to my friend Don. And he said, I want you to know I'm radically changed. I'm different than the way I was. And he said, I'm preaching the gospel and prison ministries, reaching out to those inmates. And I was I was stunned. I almost fell down on the steps of the Catholic Church. He brought his pastor, a couple of the elders, and part of their building team to walk through this building after it was built. And they made notes and took some pictures. And I haven't been to it, but I believe that they built a building that looks an awfully lot like our church. And it just showed me, Dennis, you can't prejudge somebody. And maybe God, you know, God was quietly working in his life. But it just said to me, you know, God, I can't prejudge who you want to save. And maybe you have friends or family or somebody that you're around that's like that. And God's going to speak to us and he's going to work in these days. Because there's a remnant of God's people. No matter what happens in this country, the kingdom of God is going to be extended. Would you join me as we pray? Father, thank you for, Lord, your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ and Lord, his passion, his priority, and the initiative that he took. I pray, God, that you would stir us, Lord. I pray that you would encourage us, that you would refresh us, that you would give us a burden, Lord, of caring about people, Lord, that eternity matters. And as Peggy said, that people die without, you know, knowing you, Lord, without knowing Jesus Christ, Lord, to be cast into hell. And so, Father, we don't talk about that much. We don't even like to think about it. But, Lord, it's going to happen. And so stir us, work in us. Allow us to hear your presence, God. And to see where you're at work, that we might sow to what you're doing, God. Just in a moment, I'd say most of you here today know the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you just happen to be here, and maybe you're not sure, maybe your faith in the Lord is something that you question, and I would invite you just to acknowledge your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in Jesus as the Son of God, and that he came to give you forgiveness of sins, and that it is through repentance and turning to him with humility that your life will be changed. Tony, could we just sing the chorus of that song? Okay? Let's just do that. Why don't you stand? We're going to be dismissed. You can come, some of the team will be ready to come and pray. But can we just sing that chorus? Is that good? Lord, may it be so. Lord, may the words that we have sung and the meditations of our heart be fulfilled. Yes. May the dreams and the words that you're speaking to us in these days, Lord, may we come to see them or see those, Lord, even into the future that will see your word fulfilled, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.